This evening, John chapter 2, we begin a new series of lessons which will take us right up to the rapture. Hopefully that's tonight. Say, how long will that take? Well, we'll just do it till the rapture comes. So if that were tonight, we could end it quickly and that would be fine. John chapter 2. Just going to look at one verse as we begin this evening, John chapter 2, verse number 23. John chapter 2 and verse number 23. Here the Bible says this: Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. For the next few months, we are going to be looking at the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that he performed during his 3.5 years while he was here on earth. Miracles were not original with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a miracle of creation in the Old Testament. There were several miracles that Moses worked, turning a stick into a serpent, putting his hand into his bosom and withdrawing it, and it being leprous, putting it back in and drawing out, it was clean again. Turning the river to blood. Now we know that those miracles were worked by God, but God did them through the hand of Moses. Elijah and Elisha, the two great prophets, both raised boys from the dead. Elisha twice, Elijah once. There's the crossing of the Red Sea. There's the falling of the walls at Jericho, and of course probably one of the most familiar and well-known miracles in the Bible, the swallowing of Jonah by the whale. So miracles are not new to the New Testament, but they were used to authorize or to show God's authority on his messenger and on his message. And so it's not surprising that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, his ministry was filled with miracles. Now, there are a lot of folks that claim to believe the Bible, but they don't believe the miracles. And if you don't believe any particular part of the Bible, you really don't believe the Bible. It was not written and designed for you and I to pick apart and take the places we do believe and the places we don't believe. It's an all or nothing thing. And yet so many have said, well, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a good man. He had great moral standards and he taught great truths. But we don't accept the miracles of the Bible. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Because he came and the Bible says they believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. We're going to look at the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the next few weeks. Tonight will just be an introduction to those miracles. Next week will probably be the second part of the introduction to the miracles. And then the third week we get into this, we'll actually start into the miracles in John chapter 2 at the beginning of the chapter here, the first miracle that Jesus worked. But we want to look at the miracles of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. The accurate and precise recording of the miracles in the Bible is one of the reasons it stands superior to all other books. There are a lot of wise sayings in the Bible. And though other books don't compare, there are other books with very wise sayings. Some people like the writings of Mark Twain. And his writings were very practical and very, very wise from that. Many studied Socrates and Aristotle and thought that their writings were full of wisdom. Some would compare those to the Bible, though we would not. But the Bible's full of wisdom. But the thing that makes it stand out is the recording and the precision and the detail of the miracles that take place. It's not just a generalization. It's not just a Jesus did this or Jesus did that. We give facts, we get information, we get details at how these things were done. And this is all done, the Bible says it was done, that we might believe. Miracles were not used to entertain people. They were not used to impress people. Jesus Christ used miracles to authenticate his message and to show people that he had been sent from God. Now, we'll get ahead of ourselves in this, but we're going to see next week, those miracles are no longer around. The miracles as was done by Moses and Elijah and Elisha, the miracles that were done by the Lord Jesus Christ are not in existence right now, though many claim that they still have that gift and ability to do it. And we'll talk about the demise of miracles and God's planning of that later on. But what we're going to focus on right now are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the 33 miracles. I think that's just kind of amazing. 33 of the 33 years of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, 33 miracles that he performed. Now, that number is not all the miracles he did, but 33 specific miracles that are named in Scripture. Let's look first of all at the definition of a miracle. What is a miracle? People, we use that term loosely. Well, that's a miracle. Michigan beat Ohio State. That was not a miracle. Okay? That was just good football. That's all there is to it. Somebody survives a car accident, and we say that's a miracle. And it can be amazing, but it's not really a miracle. The definition of a miracle, let me give you a good Webster's dictionary. And you've got one on your paper there. I'll get to that in a minute. But here's what Webster's definition of miracle was. Get this. It's very clear and concise. Here's what it is. An event or effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of the laws, an extraordinary, anomalous, or abnormal event brought about by superhuman agency. Did you get that? Definition. Don't you love definitions that are more complicated than the word itself? Someone else defined the miracle as a workout of the usual sequence of secondary causes and effects which cannot be accounted for by the ordinary operation of those causes, and which is produced by the agency of God through the instrumentality of one who claims to be his representative and in attestation of the message which he brings. I get tired reading it. And so we've kind of summarized it on your note page there, that a miracle is simply this: something that happens outside the natural realm of law. And when we say law, we're talking about the laws of nature. Raising someone from the dead is contrary to the laws of nature. Turning water into wine, changing the elements of its consistency, is contrary to the laws of nature. And the reason that the skeptical mind rejects the miracles of the Bible is because they are against anything that cannot be humanly explained or described. And of course, you and I know that if our God could be humanly explained or described, he would not be God. And so one sign of his Godhead is the performance of miracles. Outside the realms, the laws of nature, causing a storm, peace be still, and the winds and the waves obeyed him. That's a miracle. I've not seen anybody do that in the last 2,000 years. We'd love to be able to do that. No storm Friday night. No snow. All right, no problems. I'd like to go out right now and say, let it be 75 degrees. Against the laws, contrary to the laws of nature. That's what miracles are. Going up to a man with a hand that over years and because of disease and age has been withered, and saying, stretch forth thy hand, and taking it by hand and healing it and making it whole and complete. That's a miracle. Miracles have no human explanation. The wonder about the miracles of the Bible, and one of the fun things, is trying to read those that try to explain away the miracles and tell us why they didn't happen the way the Bible tells us. Every miracle, I remember one time reading somebody or someone that said about the walls of Jericho falling down, that it was due simply because of the army marching around one day, one time every day for 6 days, and loosening the ground and the foundations of the walls of the city. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and this ancient city of Jericho, the walls were so fragile that when they marched around seven times, and then at the end of that, sounded the trumpet and shouted, and the walls came tumbling down, was just a natural result of the structure underneath where the city was sitting. To try to explain away miracles sounds more foolish than accepting them. I remember talking to a Jewish coworker many, many years ago, and we were talking about the crossing of the Red Sea, and she told me, she said, it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And it was called the Reed Sea because it was only about this deep. And so it was not a miracle that Moses and the people of Israel crossed that thing because it was only that deep. And I said, glory to God, it's still a miracle. She said, why? I said, because Pharaoh's whole army drowned in water that was only that deep. Their chariots and everything went right under. When we try to explain away the miracles of the Bible, it doesn't make any sense. You might as well accept them. And so when we look at the miracles, they are things that happen outside the natural realm of law. Things, events that cannot be explained by natural law or scientific reasoning. That's what a miracle is. Turn to John chapter 20, if you would. Let's look at the design of miracles. The design of miracles. And we kind of read about it here in John chapter 2. And in John chapter 2, verse number 23, that's immediately after the first miracle of turning water to wine in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it tells us that when he did that miracle and other miracles he performed, that when he performed those miracles, many believed because of those miracles. So John chapter 20 and verse number 30. The Bible tells us, and many other signs, and we'll talk about this word signs. You can think wonders and miracles. That's what's included in that. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And this book, of course, is talking about the Gospel of John. Of the 33 miracles that Jesus performed, 8 of those are recorded in the Gospel of John. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Matthew records the most out of all the writers. Mark, Luke, and John record others. All four of them only record one of the miracles. Only one is recorded by all four of the writers. But John writes about 8 of them. And he said the reason for them, verse 31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Miracles were done for the express purpose of getting people to believe. In charismatic circles in our day, they'll load up a bus and take them to a rally. And someone will get up there and supposedly perform all these miracles. It's not for the express desire of people believing, not believing in Christ. There might be a part of believing in the prophet that's there, in believing the ability that he has, but it's not an evangelistic crusade. It's called a healing meeting. They're not trying to reach people's souls, they're trying to take care of their bodies. Now, whether you buy into the reality of that that's going on in the stories is a whole other thing. But the purpose of miracles Jesus did was not for people to wonder at his ability and talent and get that to done. He did it so that people would believe. Well, why did they need that? Well, Jesus didn't have to draw a crowd. The multitudes followed him for his teaching. They followed him for his oratory. And so when Jesus performed the miracles, he did those that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Number 3, we look at the description of the miracles. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, just a couple pages over in verse number 22. Here's what Peter said to the nation of Israel on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, he said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." Miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Jesus of Nazareth, his human name, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. The proof of his divinity to the nation of Israel was his ability to work wonders, miracles, and signs. They were the authentication of his message. That's why when God sent Moses before Pharaoh, he gave him signs and wonders. He gave him miracles to approve of the message Moses was giving. That's why Elijah and Elisha, the two prophets, were able to work miracles, because God was putting his stamp of approval on their ministries and showing people they needed to listen to them, accompanying signs and wonders. In the days to come, in the book of Revelation, there are two men we believe to be Moses and Elijah, two witnesses, two prophets that will arise up during the tribulation period and work signs and wonders in the presence of people. And the reason for that will be to show that they have been authorized by God to deliver the message. Between now and then, there's a gap of these miracles, but they will be repeated. It's always been to show that God's hand is upon the person that's doing those things. Many charlatans are trying to claim that today. Many people are trying to replicate that today and going through very devious means to do such. But Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. Why? Well, you're in Acts. Go to Romans and then 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When Jesus came in his earthly ministry, he came expressly for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to be a Messiah to the Jewish people. John tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's us, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God. We got in because the Jews rejected him. But his initial ministry through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the miracles and all that he did, he was there to show the Jewish nation that the Son of David, the Son of God, was there among them. And he was approved by that, by signs, wonders, and miracles. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." The first half of that verse, the Jews require a sign. You ever heard it said about people that live in Missouri? They live in the Show Me State. That's what it's called, the Show Me State. They're not going to believe it unless they see it. Of course, with AI and everything that's going on today, you can't even believe what you see anymore. But the Jews, the Bible said, they need, that's why they said, "Show us a sign." The Pharisees came to Christ and said, "Show us a sign." They weren't going to believe unless they had a sign. And Jesus got so fed up with them, he said, "I'm not going to show you a sign. You want a sign? Look at the prophet Jonah that spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. But I'm not going to give you any more signs." It came to the point where Jesus said, "You've seen enough. Oh, Capernaum." Jesus worked the majority of his miracles in Capernaum in Galilee. "And to whom much was given, much was required." And they didn't believe in that place. But they were given the signs. That's the description: miracles, wonders, and signs. And the purpose was to show the nation of Israel that their Messiah had arrived. Nobody needs to know that now. You don't have to prove to anybody that the Jewish Messiah was here on earth 2,000 years ago. So the miracles, signs, and wonders are no longer in effect. Look back, if you would, at the Gospel of John. John chapter 2 and verse number 18. Not 18. I've got the wrong reference written down. That's good for me. I always do that. We looked at John. No, I'm in the wrong chapter. Never mind. Here we go. If I get in the right chapter, that always helps. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Of course, the Jews said, 40 and 6 days was his temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up? But he spake of the temple of his body. There the Jews asking, what sign? What wonders? What miracles? What signs? And Jesus, during his earthly ministry, for the first majority of the first 3 years, he gave them signs and wonders. When it became evident that they were not going to believe them, he shut them off from signs and wonders. Their design purpose was to bring people to faith in Christ as their Messiah. God does not need miracles today to bring people to faith. He has the written word of God. Those that are using miracles today are substituting that for the Bible. And the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come through believing in miracles. But to the Jew, it was a different thing. So the description of miracles, the prominence of miracles, the abundance of miracles during the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to convince the nation of Israel that their Messiah had arrived. Number four, we look at the division of miracles. Before we start enumerating them and looking at them individually, there's first the counting of miracles. The counting of miracles. And I've said already, there are 33 specific miracles. It starts with turning water into wine, and it ends with the raising of Lazarus. Now, it ends with the abundance of fish in John chapter 20. And throughout Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry, 33 miracles specifically are listed. I say specifically because look at this. Look at Matthew chapter, let's just go to one. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We went through the Gospel of Mark a couple years ago on Wednesday nights. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 32. This was the first day of the ministry of Jesus Christ, if you remember that when we studied it, how busy he was, and the Gospel of Mark gives us a detailed account of his very first day. It doesn't give us a detailed account of every day of his life, because the Bible would be enormous if it did. But on the first day, going to the synagogue in the morning, going to Peter's house afterward and healing his mother-in-law, healing a man in the synagogue that morning, all these things that happened. But notice it says in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 32, "And at even," this is after he healed Simon's mother-in-law in verse 30 and 31. In verse 32, "At even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils." When I say there are 33 specific miracles of Christ, that's not counting accounts like this, Where several times in the Bible says that they brought him people from the streets and the houses, and he healed many, and he healed their sicknesses and cast out devils and diseases. That's not counting those. That's just 33 specific ones we're going to look at. And that doesn't mean that's all of them he performed. Those are just the ones that were recorded in Scripture for us. So the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was abundant with signs, miracles, and wonders. We're not living in the days of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. So those that are running after signs, miracles, and wonders are completely in error in their understanding of the Word of God. Somebody today that says, if God will do this, then I'll do that. God doesn't work that way. God is not obligated to work that way. He said, here's my word. Here's what I've said. Believe it. The signs and wonders are done. The counting of the miracles. Jesus performed 33 specific, but many, many more than that were performed. Then secondly, the categories of the miracles. And we can take all 33 of the miracles and divide them into four categories. And you see the categories there. And as we begin looking at the miracles later, like the turning of the water into wine, the first one will be under this category of ruling nature. Ruling nature. 9 of his miracles of the 33 involve ruling nature. Twice he caused a big catch of fish. Early in his ministry and at the end of his ministry. The disciples have been fishing all night and caught nothing. And he said, throw it over the right side of the boat. Well, Lord, we've been toiling all night, but nevertheless, at thy word. That was the first account. Again, there's two different ones. Nevertheless, at thy word, and they threw it out, and the net was filled. He said, cast out the nets. They cast out a net. Not nets. He said nets. They cast out a net, and it was over. It overwhelmed them. They had to call their friends and help them. That's overruling nature, causing food to multiply. Taking loaves and fishes and making it sufficient for 5,000 people, for 4,000 people. Saying, peace be still, and causing nature to obey him. Walking upon the water. He says, is that a miracle? Try it. These acts of ruling nature. A coin in a fish's mouth. Boy, don't you wish that one would be repeated? And so these are ruling nature. Secondly, the majority of miracles were on restoring health. 17 of those 33 miracles, that's over half of them, were about restoring health. From healing the nobleman's son to Peter's mother-in-law, as we mentioned, healing lepers, a cripple by a pool, the centurion's servant, 2 blind men, a stooped woman, a woman with dropsy, 10 lepers, blind Bartimaeus, Malchus's ear in the garden, restoring health. And again, when he did it, it wasn't just for show and tell. It wasn't just, there was a need to be met, and he was showing his power and ability so that people would understand who he was. Restoring health. Number 3, removing devils. There are 4 different miracles where Jesus cast devils out of a man. The most familiar one probably, the maniac of Gadara. And we'll get to that miracle as we study these different miracles where he cast a legion out of a man into a herd of swine that immediately ran off the cliff down into the water and committed suicide, as you know. So we won't talk about that. Exorcising a young boy, a Syrophoenician woman, a man in the synagogue possessed of a devil, removing devils. And then fourthly, raising the dead. On 3 different occasions, Jesus raised someone from the dead. A widow's son in the graveyard. As he is walking through the graveyard and they're carrying the casket, as it were, and he walks by them and it's the widow's only son, her only way of provision, and he's gone. And Jesus, to show his power and to meet the need of the woman, raises that boy back from the dead. Jairus' daughter. And then, of course, Lazarus, come forth. If he hadn't said Lazarus, if he had said simply come forth, everybody in the graveyard would have walked out of the grave that day. But he specifically said Lazarus. So the raising of the dead. All these miracles were done by Jesus to show his power and ability so that people might believe on him. And then there's the country of the miracles. Jesus went everywhere doing good. 20 of his miracles were done in Galilee. That's not surprising, is it? That was Jesus' home territory where he spent most of his time. And there in Galilee, or on the Sea of Galilee, or the coast of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus performed 20 of his 33 miracles. 20 of them were done, can we say it this way, at home? And you know what Jesus said? A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He worked the most of them in his own neighborhood, and yet they did not believe. I find that hard to believe, don't you? I mean, growing up in that area, knowing him as a young boy, and knowing his reputation, and knowing everything he knew about him, and then rising up and beginning his ministry and working these miracles, and yet they did not believe. How hard the heart has to be to reject him. And yet people's hearts are just as hard now. 20 miracles done there in Galilee. As I mentioned earlier, 11 of those were done right in Capernaum, right in that city. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I mentioned earlier, Matthew records more of the miracles than any other writer. And we'll get into that next week. But Matthew 8 and 9, those two chapters record 9 of the miracles. In two chapters, Matthew 8 and 9, 9 of the miracles of the 33 are found in those two chapters. What is Matthew? Matthew is the gospel that's directed toward the Jew. All right, Mark toward the servant, Luke toward the Romans. But Matthew is specifically trying to show the Jews that Jesus was their Messiah, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, the Son of God. And so he records more miracles than all the rest of them. And here in his home area, most of them are recorded. And here in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20, he says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his miracles, mighty works were done, because they repented not. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long have repented. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. These cities that he mentions in verse 21, Chorazin, Bethsaida, in verse number 23, Capernaum, all the cities of Galilee where he worked most of his miracles and gave them undeniable proof of his ministry. And yet they rejected him. Jesus said, if those miracles had been done in Sodom, they would have repented. And yet in his own country, they were rejected. 20 of the miracles were done in Galilee. 6 of them were done in Judea. We're spreading out now, going south from Galilee unto Judea. He healed a cripple by the pool. He healed a man that was born blind. He healed Lazarus in Judea. He healed Bartimaeus in Judea. He caused a fig tree to die there as he was going into Jerusalem in Judea. And he healed Malchus's ear there. And so in the ministry of Christ, wherever he went, signs, miracles, and wonders followed him. You wanted to see those signs, miracles, and wonders? Be around Jesus Christ. That's where they were. 3 of them were done in Decapolis, the Garden of Gadara, where he cast that legion out of that man, as we already mentioned, was done in Decapolis. The healing of a deaf and dumb man was done in Decapolis. The causing food to multiply was done. That was that second feeding of the 4,000 was done in Decapolis. In Perea, healing the stooped woman in Luke chapter 13 and healing the man with the dropsy in Luke chapter 14, both took place in Perea. He went around and did it in different places at different times with different people, wanting his message to be received by the people and them to realize he'd been sent from God. So his miracles, though concentrated in Galilee, went everywhere he went, even to Samaria, where he worked the miracle of healing the 10 lepers, the 10 Samaritan lepers, and only one came back to give thanks. You know the story. We'll look at that miracle. And then finally, one in Phoenicia. And that was the Syrophoenician woman, the only Gentile. Well, there's the centurion's daughter, but the only Gentile that he laid hands on that came directly to him, the Syrophoenician woman that asked for the crumbs from the table that fell. Because Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's meat and give it to the dogs. What was he talking about? That was for the Jews, the children, and giving it to the Gentiles, the Phoenicians, Syrophoenicians. And yet he healed that woman, exercising that Syrophoenician. All of these things were done to show that Jesus Christ was God's promised Messiah. And accepting or rejecting the miracles is accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ. And again, we go back to what we said at the beginning. When someone says, well, I believe all the Bible except the part about the miracles, you know how much of the Bible you just rejected? I mean, all the way back from creation, and all the way back from Moses, and all the way back from Jonah, and all those, and then into the New Testament, and all these miracles of Christ. You can't pick and choose what parts you believe and what parts you don't. It's an all or nothing thing. And these miracles of Christ, as we go through them, the wonderful thing about them is that as we look at them, we're not only going to see that they were itemized accounts of miracles that Jesus did, but every one of them has a lesson for us today. It's not just that he turned the water into wine and met a need, but he did in such a manner and such a way and said such things that we can take all these things the Bible says are written for our admonition and written for our learning. And so even the miracles that we read about, he's not going to cause, Ed, I got bad news for you. You're not going to go down to Seneca Lake and the Lord's not going to give you a great number of fish off the right side of your boat. I know you're counting on that. He's not going to do these things, but there is an application of these things in our lives today. And that's the reason that they're recorded in Scripture, so that we can learn something from them. So in the months to come, as we go through these itemized miracles of Christ, they're written for our learning. They're written to increase our knowledge of him and show us that he proved who he was, and that he was who he said he was, and that the Jews reject him in spite of all that. And he shows his power and ability by the working of the miracles, things that happen outside the natural realm of law. They are wonders. They're signs. And they're miracles. I hope you'll enjoy as we walk through the miracles of Christ over the next few months. Let's stand together with our heads.